Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, April 28th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 53, the third paragraph that starts with "Arrived at this point." We're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Sharon W., 12 Traditions, Penny L.C. The reader of the text is Deb E. Robin P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Lane B. The reference number for Tuesday, April 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,840. That's 16840. And for this morning, Wednesday, April 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,848. That's 16848. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Kaylee R., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sharon W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. This is Sharon W., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Sharon W. I'll now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 53, the third paragraph, starting with arrived at this point, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Deb E. to begin reading. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Don. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. Arrived at this point, we were squarely confronted with the question of faith. We couldn't duck the issue. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason toward the desired shore of faith. The outlines and the promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. Friendly hands had stretched out in welcome. We were grateful that reason had brought us so far, but somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. Perhaps we had been leaning too heavily on reason that last mile, and we did not like to lose our support. So to me, this, you know, arrived at this point. This is the point where I was just asked in the previous paragraph whether, you know, God is or God isn't. Do I believe in a higher power that can help me, or do I not? Am I going to turn my will and my life over, or am I not? And if I'm not, then the rest of the steps aren't really going to work for me because I don't believe that this program works without having that higher power. I need to be turning it over. I need to be handing that power over to something that is greater than me, or it just won't work. So I'm being asked if I'm ready, if I'm prepared. And I was just noticing how the word reason has an uppercase R, and whenever power is referring to higher power, it's an uppercase R. And so I wonder, and I'm sure someone who's a Big Book expert could probably answer this, but I'm wondering if reason has an uppercase R here because it's so strong. To me, reason means my will and, you know, my mind trying to convince me that I don't need faith, that I can figure this out on my own. And I wonder if it's capitalized because it's so strong. And I would misinterpret it as will, as my higher power's will. You know, I'd, before coming to OA, my reason, my will was my higher power, right? It was like, no, I know what to do. I know how to control my weight. I know how to, you know, everything I need to do. And this taught me that I don't know, I really don't know any of that, and I've had to learn it. So my, you know, reason also to me means fear. And I like this last part, we did not like to lose our support, because I think, you know, for me, leaning on reason, leaning on my will, it was always like, it felt very much like life or death. And it sounds so exaggerated now to think about it, but I really didn't think I could live without sugar. I was like, it's impossible. There's no way I can live, you know? And it becomes so, such a powerful thought like that. It's really hard to let go, and it's really hard to believe that anything else can replace it, because it felt like it was my life I was clinging to, you know? So it's like this idea of having to let go of that and just trust and take this leap of faith. It's very scary. But it's worked every time. Every time I've taken that leap of faith, every time I've trusted my higher power and gone with my higher power's will, it does work out. But it doesn't mean that it's not still scary sometimes, you know. And I can end with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Deb E., for getting us started. And I'll now be opening up the lines to take names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Sima M.
Sima M.
Laura T.
Laura T.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie.
Virginia T.
Virginia T. And let's stop there. Okay, I've got Michelle J., Roz G., Sima M., Laura T., Sherry Josie, and Virginia T. Go ahead, Michelle, and get us started this morning. And if you would, please tell us where you're calling from.
This is Michelle J. calling in from Arkansas. I am a recovered and always recovering food addict. You know, I heard this and I went, I got to share this little thing. It just popped into my head. You have to trust and believe that something's going to save you. You know, for this to work, and it's true, like others have said today. And I was thinking about when I was being trained as a lifeguard, and how when someone was drowning, if they're flailing, if they're fighting, if they've got a lot of strength and power, you don't go near them. You let them, they've got to trust that you're going to save them. So here you are as a lifeguard, and you get out there. What if somebody grabs you from behind? We were taught to kick, to fight, to have self-preservation, to get them away. They have to drown. We let them drown before we can go and rescue them sometimes. That's a long time ago. I don't do that anymore. But it just reminded me how, unless we can trust something, unless we can let go, that something's going to save us, someone's going to save us. And I remember my one and only life save was a cousin. Right after I had my lifeguard certificate, I was at a lake with my cousin, and there wasn't a preserver, there wasn't anything to save, there was nobody else, and he was drowning. I jumped in, and he trusted me, and he laid back, and he rested, and I reached over, and I took him to safety. And that was like 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and it's like, wow. And that's what we have to have. We've got to have a trust in God, a higher power that will save us from ourselves. We're all in this together. We're all screw-ups. We're all mess-up. And I'm working on that every day. I've learned every day, and I'm still learning how to be better with my emotions, how to be better with my relationships, how to be better in my food eating, how to be better in life. And I've got a higher power, and I trust him. And with that, I'll pass.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michelle J. from Arkansas. Roz G., will you share with us now, followed by Sima M. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Gone back to work in some kind of way, so doing a lot of listening. And thank you for letting me share this morning. So what came to mind on this paragraph for me is the attributes of God that are given here. Bridge of reason, new land, friendly reason, and a very powerful experience I had with my current sponsor was to have a list of attributes that of God for me to be squarely confronted with. Isn't that what it says here? Yes, squarely confronted, meaning eye to eye. When I'm squarely confronted with something, that means I'm looking in the mirror at myself, or I'm looking at a person in the eye with grace today, not with meanness and I'm going to overtake you kind of thing, or my animals or whatever it is I need to look at, and I'm facing reality. And I believe the word reality is here. Well, you know, it's not in this paragraph, but we have the great reality in other paragraphs, and it's reality squarely confronted. And so my attributes are kind, for my higher power, are kind, caring, compassionate, open, curious about me, always ever present, demonstrator of love, loving, funny, and recently it's been a matchmaker, a finder, and a shiner of light. Those are my attributes of God. Those are things that I'm squarely confronted with in the morning when I pray. And it has been a life-changing experience for me to have those attributes, those adjectives to align my life with on a daily basis. Does it always happen? No, because last night I was just writing in my nightly review about some things that I did. I gossiped about somebody yesterday and I was like, Roz, you're not supposed to do that, you know? And even when I was doing it, I cut myself off and I said to the person, you know what? I'm sorry that I said that. I shouldn't be saying that about somebody else. She's like, oh, I don't care. It's okay. And I was like, I do. I really don't want to talk about people like that. Things, kind, comparing, compassionate, and curious about me are coming to pass in my life. And so, you know, I don't know if I went off topic or anything, but I can't duck this. I have to be acquainted with and have a deep and profound daily relationship with these attributes, with God as I understand him. And I hang on that bridge. I'm not losing support. It's not a creaky bridge. It's a strong suspended bridge that has all of those attributes and bring me over to that other side, which is recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz. Thank you, Roz. Now, Sima M., will you share with us, followed by Laura T., and please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Sima.
Good morning. This is Sima M. calling from New Jersey. Excuse me. Grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery for today. I just noticed that the word reason is in capital letters, and it's not the beginning of the sentence, three times in this one paragraph. And I'm just wondering about that. I know that it's very important when they capitalize something. And at the last place it says, perhaps we had been leaning too heavily on reason. And I guess that was before I came in OA. I thought I could reasonably figure out how to eat properly and how to lose weight, which I did. That was reasonable. But I couldn't figure out the reason why I couldn't stay stopped. And that was to be revealed to me in this program, which I've been in, came to 47 years ago. But I would say the last 7 years or 8 years has been where when I came back and I found Vision for You, that it finally started sinking in. So what's the reason that it took me so many years? I don't know. But it says in How It Works, there are those who can recover if they have the capacity to be honest, even if they're spiritually, emotionally sick. Anyway, today I don't look for reasons. And I don't even rely on reason. I rely on my higher power because so many things happen that seem without rhyme or reason in the world and to me in my personal life. And I have learned what it's actually like to put my faith in my higher power and accept whatever's going on. It doesn't matter if there was a reason or there wasn't a reason. And then work the steps, not trying to change things, but accepting things and praying to be shown if there's something I can do to change it, like it says in the Serenity Prayer, or if I just have to accept it and just pray to be able to accept it and pray for the other person. And so I have a closer relationship with my higher power than I ever had before. And as a result, I have more serenity than I ever had before and more ability to act with reason, even though there might not be a reason. My reason comes from my higher power when I pause and ask for the right thought or action. So I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sima M. from New Jersey. Now, Laura T., will you share with us, followed by Sherry Jo C.? Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, A Vision for You. This is Laura T. from Texas. I happen to be in Louisiana right now, but I'm from Texas, and I am a compulsive overeater. There's something wonderful going on in my life. I came to the program last summer and then drifted away. And I recently, have a new sponsor and feel like I am starting a new program because it's very different for me this time. And it's just been since Saturday, the 19th of April. So I have been living this paragraph. And now I have arrived at this point, and I'm squarely confronted with the question of faith. And yesterday, I was distracted, and things kept happening, and I forgot about God during the day. I've been feeling just completely fabulous and feeling God next to me and loving the personal connection I've been feeling and making friends with him and feeling like he's caring about me. And then yesterday I forgot. And so by the end of the day, I was having distinct food thoughts that I hadn't been having. So I used my tools and everything turned out okay. And I got back on track. So this morning I woke up to a reading that said, "But you shall receive power." And then I turned on A Vision for You and it has this. That is just perfect. I have been feeling the friendly hands stretching out in welcome. I have been, it's like I am standing on that bridge and I'm just about to step onto the shore of faith. And then I forgot yesterday. And so I'm back holding on to that bridge. And this morning my foot was paused in midair, getting ready to step on that shore. And when I turned on A Vision for You and read this paragraph and heard this paragraph being read, I feel like I have at least one foot on the shore, firmly planted on the ground. And if I continue to work this program and remember to thank God and remember to look next to me and see him throughout today, because today is what I have, then I am going to be ashore. I'm going to be on that shore of faith. So thank you so much. And thank you, God, for calling me to turn on this meeting this morning. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Laura T. from Texas. Now, Sherry Jo C., will you share with us, followed by Virginia T. And Sherry Jo C., if you would tell us where you're calling from as well. Good morning.
Great. Thanks, Dawn. Good morning. This is Sherry Jo C., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Well, I have to be honest with you guys. My hands are sweaty this morning reading this section. That's how much I relate to it. And I love this passage so much. You know, we're going to read in a little while another passage I love, how, you know, this idea of God, it's in all of us. And faith is in all of us. But it gets obscured by things. And, you know, it'll say it's obscured by calamity, pomp, and worship of other things. Okay, so what is the worship of other things? One of the things that I've worshipped the most in my, not only in my compulsive eating, but also in my recovery, is control. I have said it before on this line, I worship at the altar of control. I love control. There was a time when I said, as long as I have my food and I can eat compulsively, I can get through anything. Well, now that I'm in recovery, I don't need to do that anymore. But you know what? The control hangs in there, my addiction to control. Because honestly, I do feel like if I can control, I can get through anything. But the problem is, just like the compulsive eating, it kills you. It's impossible for me to live my life from a basis of control. And the only way to really get to that feeling, the real feeling that I really want, not the feeling I used to try to get from the food, the feeling of escape, the feeling of release from responsibility, which was really just avoidance or postponement, but the real feeling that I want, the freedom, the feeling that I'm being carried by something bigger than me, by something that knows, by something that cares about me. That feeling only comes when I say, I'm not going to worship at the altar of control. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to trust. I'm going to step out on faith into the unknown. And I just made a decision within the last few months to leave my relationship of 8 years. And I'm stepping out on faith. And I have to tell you that it's taken my program to a whole nother level. And you all have helped me get back, because over the last couple of years that I've come to Vision, it accompanied my commitment to deepening my program and getting back to what I really need to be doing. Yeah, I've been absent all these years. So what? I stopped working the steps and I stopped stepping out on faith. And I went back, even while I was abstinent, I went back to exercising control in my life and trying to get my safety and security from that. And it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. I hit a dead end. And now I'm at a place where I'm getting to really look at what does my higher power want for me and to trust. It's all love. It's all good. And I don't know how to explain it. I ride horses, and there's a saying that we have, thank you, that's called hanging on the reins. And instead of hanging on the reins, I've got my hands out, and I'm just trusting God. And it's the best feeling in the world, and I'm just so grateful to get to be here with all of you and study this passage. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry Jo C. from California. Now we'll have Virginia T. share, but before she shares, I'd like to let you know that we're on page 53, the third paragraph, that starts with arrived at this point, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. So after Virginia's done sharing, I'll be taking some more names. Good morning, Virginia, and please let us know where you're calling from.
I'm Virginia T. from Georgia, and I thank you all for your service. I feel like this a Vision for You has been that group that's been reaching out their hands, like the people in this paragraph. I have been not a fan of the Big Book for a long time. I've been in OA for over 25 years, but I would read it and I would say, well, this is for alcoholics, and I'm not an alcoholic, and it's very geared toward men, and I'm not a man, and I would certainly skip over this chapter because I'm not an agnostic, but I just thank all of you for helping to bring this the Big Book and this chapter to life for me. I've realized that I have been an agnostic as far as my compulsive overeating is concerned, and telling myself that either God is not big enough to handle my particular problems and to help me with them because it's such a trivial thing, or my problem is just too big for God to handle, even though I believe that God can do all kinds of miracles, or on the other hand, that God just wouldn't even be concerned about what I ate. And I have been finding that fine surrender, but I don't stay on the bridge. I want to just jump in the water and try to swim to shore myself sometimes when I want to take back control. And that's a dangerous place to be. But I've always sort of felt like God was holding on to me, even in those times. And I'm really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the people who continue to stretch out their hands and welcome. And I want to be one of those people always stretching out my hand and welcome to those who are struggling. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I will pass.
Thank you, Virginia T. from Georgia. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Janice P.
Was that Janice P?
No, it was Janice K. Thank you.
Janice K.
Joanne
Barbara
B.
Barbara W.
Joanne B.
Yes.
Faith
and
S.
Barbara W.
Phyllis R.
Phyllis R.
Faith S.
Was that Faith S?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And did I miss someone in there? Okay.
Wendy.
No. Wendy B.
Wendy B. An M. It's actually an M.
Wendy M. Okay. Hopefully we'll have time for everybody. We have Janice K, Joanne B, Barbara W, Phyllis R, Faith S, and Wendy M. Go ahead, Janice, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Janice K, and I'm calling from Oregon this morning. Oh, my. We've had some discussion about the capital R in reason, and I Googled it. One of the reasons to capitalize a letter is that it takes on the force of a proper noun, a name, or a quantity or quality derived from a proper noun. I suspect, and I know it is true in my case, that before I could rely on God, when I had to rely on myself, I also relied on reason. There's something called the Age of Reason, which was 18th century in France and England. It was characterized by a belief in the use of reason, and it questioned the beliefs of faith that had become, as it thought, so outsized. And I know that for me, this chapter is about who am I relying on and where is my agnosticism showing up today. Reason only takes me so far. Unfortunately, another thing about reason and I is that I recently went to the coast. And on the coast, there are entire hillsides of trees that grow sideways. And they're that way because of the pressure of the constant wind. So I look at that and I think, I am a tree that grows sideways. And I think that I am capable of, I think I'm upright. I think that I am upright and able to reason things out. But the fact is, that most of my thinking and planning is that of a person that grows sideways. I have to depend on my higher power. When I grow toward my higher power, the position is upright. The fact of the matter is I have to keep reaching for the sunlight of the spirit all day long because I am a sideways person. I walk crooked through a world that thinks I'm upright. And unfortunately, I'm not. My reasoning is skewed because of that. And I have to, you know, I have to reach for the sunlight of the spirit. And I have to look for guidance from my higher power because when I rely on myself, I forget that I grow sideways. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. And now Joanne B., will you share with us, followed by Barbara W. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. I'm Joanne B. from Texas. And thank you to the person who just gave such a beautiful word picture. One of the things, this is so cool that I came on today because I had another assignment I needed to complete in my life, and but I thought I'd listen why I worked a little bit this morning. Anyway, it was so timely. I came in to OA in 2017, very desperate, and I did have that that hope that came, as it said, let's see, this promise of the new land had brought luster to my tired eyes. And I received this fresh courage. My spirit was flagging. And just yesterday, I was coming home from a big book study and feeling kind of agitated. And what my higher power helped me see was that I wasn't trusting him like I did at the beginning. And I was thinking, really? And my sponsor had been telling me that my higher power was, my idea wasn't big enough. And I didn't quite understand. And then today you read, we were grateful that reason had brought us so far, but somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. And I thought, oh my, I did set aside everything I thought I knew at the beginning. And I've set that thought aside. My idea of my higher power, I still need to set it aside because I don't know. My higher power is not limited to my brain and my thoughts and my ideas. He's so much bigger, and I keep wanting to put him in a box. So today I'm going to lean on my higher power instead of on my reasoning and why I think certain ways. And I love that my tree is sideways. I'm leaning sideways because I don't hear when someone says something. I don't necessarily hear it the way they're really trying to give it. I hear it by my experience, and boy, is my experience and my mindset flawed. So thank you so much for sharing today and for this meeting, and I love you all so much, and thank you for being part of my life. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. And now we're going to have Barbara W., followed by Phyllis R. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Barbara W., and I'm from Washington State. The one big word that stood out in that passage was the word bridge. And I've been in program, oh gosh, this summer it'll be 44 years. And also this Saturday, I celebrate 1 year of abstinence, which I'm very excited about. And the one bridge I thought of was I spent a lot of time in my younger years in Colorado, and there's a place called Royal Gorge. And there's a walkway that you can go across, or I'm not sure if it was a walkway or a walk alongside that where cars could go. But I made the choice, I think I was with family, I'm sure I was with family, to go across that. And below me, thousands of feet below, was the gorge. And I wouldn't call myself fearful of heights, but I was anxious. The word anxious comes to mind. And anxiety is something I've had to deal with a lot in my adult life. But what I remember is how shaky, sometimes the wind would get a hold of that bridge and shake it a little bit. And I can remember holding on to the railing or holding on to something close by that would hold me, ease the walk across. But now, today, I think of, oh boy, if I had wings, I could fly off this bridge and get to the other shore much quicker than walking. And I realized that the walk, what was the important thing. It's like recovery is a journey. It's not a destination. I don't reach, oh, I'm recovered. Good. I can go on about my life. I don't need you guys. Well, of course I need you. I need the fellowship, and most of all, I need my higher power. And my choice would be, and I remember, I didn't fly off that bridge. I walked across it with my family and made it to the other shore. And today I have a deep and abiding faith that my higher power, the presence of my higher power, it envelops me, works, is, you know, within me, surrounds me, every part of me, every part of my life includes God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara W. from Washington. Now, Phyllis R., will you share, followed by Faith S.? And just to let you know, we are on page 53, the third paragraph, arrived at this point, and we're talking about that paragraph. Good morning, Phyllis.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn and everybody, and thank you for being here. Phyllis R. from New Jersey. I will tell you, this is my first time sharing on vision. And the word that got me was the word reason. And when I read it, I didn't notice that the R was a capital until in a few shares it was mentioned. And I immediately interpreted as that is me when I take back my will, when I start being in charge, when I start using my thinking. And I've had signs of this in the last couple of days in which I've started with a new sponsor and I hear what is being asked of me and told, and I start questioning it in my mind and doubting. And then I have to call up and say, you know, do you think this? Do you think that? And I even had mentioned, I know it's my ego. I kind of knew it, but I just took back my will. And that's why I believe, for me, that's why reason is in capital, because I make myself my higher power. And I'm not new to OA, even though I'm virtually new to vision. And I know that I don't work. like I said, I'm not new to OA. And when I reach, I've actually had a few miracles from my God this week, and it's been astounding and amazing. And yet even so, I take it back and I start using my thinking, which is very confusing and wanting, as everyone uses the word control. Yeah, and I what happens, I just realized that there's, why am I questioning? It seems like, I think it's fear. Somehow fear comes into me. It's like being afraid to let go of the the railing when I walk up the stairs, or just letting go and having faith. There's that word. And anyway, thank you for hearing me. I hope it made sense. And everybody have a wonderful day. And again, thank you for being here.
Beautiful job, Phyllis R. from New Jersey. And now we'll have Faith S. followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Faith.
Hi, Faith S. from New York. I just love listening to everybody. My God wasn't big enough. Wow, that was powerful. And I love the my tree goes sideways. I've been saying I say my thinking is upside down, and then I'll use that little upside down emoji sometimes. And I loved what you just said. Recovery is a journey, not a destination. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Listening to everybody yesterday as I was walking around the beautiful town that I live in, I realized that, and I'm not talking about people or a boyfriend or female friends, I'm talking about I am not alone. And that I just, after yesterday's meeting in the morning, I walked around and the flowers were brighter and the sun was brighter and the sky was bluer. And I realized I am not alone. God is always with me, always. And just really grateful for all the people that called me and texted, and just, this is the most amazing gift, this group. One of the best gifts I've gotten in my life, and I'm very grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Faith S. And now we'll have Wendy M. share with us. Good morning, Wendy. Press star one, Wendy.
Hi, it's Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, gosh, you know, We Agnostics was never my favorite, and now it's my favorite, you know. And the reason for that is because my program now, and I've been in OA 20 years, and I've been in Vision for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and it's like, it's just God now. Like, there's no stories. There's no calling you guys with, like, 19, you know, paragraph essays about my son. You know, there may be 2 lines about my son, and then it's all about God. It is all about God. The whole thing is about God. And I just want to look at the word faith, first of all. And what comes to mind is, am I in fear or am I in faith, right? And when I'm in fear, I'm in reason, I'm in logic, I'm in thinking, my thinking, and I'm in control. And the minute I jump to faith, all of that can go. Like, what? Yes, all of it can go. And the reason I know I'm in fear is because, and I call it itchy and scratchy, I don't feel right. I was texting a woman yesterday in another program, and I pushed the button, and I knew I was in my thinking and reason and control. I had some fear, and I felt like I had to tell her something. And I know when I'm not with God. It is always itchy and scratchy. And when I'm in faith, oh, my God, it feels wonderful. So why wouldn't I always be in faith? This morning I was waking up my son, he's 16, and you guys, I swear to God, all I was doing his inventory. I was checking out his body. I was checking out his room. I was checking out, like, on and on, right? I was in so much fear, right, because I was only in my thinking. I was only in, oh, my God, I'm in fear. I must control something. And reason is my thinking. And the minute I realized I was doing that, I said, do a 10-step, send it to a friend, and let it go, right? Get back to the sunlight of the spirit. And that's how quickly it works for me. I heard somebody say that the broad highway gets more and more narrow because your intuitive knowing, our intuitive thinking, our intuitive connection with our creator, which is within ourselves, is so fast now. It's so quick how quickly God just goes, ding, you know, like, Wendy, you're in control, you're in fear, and we're going to get right back to faith. Because you know why, you guys? It feels good. Like, I'm in faith because it feels good. And it doesn't feel good when I'm in fear, when I'm in thinking, when I'm in reason, when I'm in control. And it can't just be 99% of me with God. It's the whole deal. But thank God, God makes it so. You know, it says God. Oh, that's time. Well, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Wendy M., and thank you to everyone who shared. And now we'll close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Robin. Star one, Robin. Well, we'll have Elaine B. please read.
Sorry, I was muted and I was talking to myself. Thank you.
Okay. There you are. Great. Thank you, Robin.
Yeah, thanks so much for your service, Dawn. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.